Hello, everyone. I am Jennifer Jones with the Barbara and Richard Somme Center for Gerontological Excellence, housed in the University of Iowa's College of Nursing in beautiful Iowa City, Iowa. Welcome to Embracing the Journey of Aging, where we will discuss all things related to aging. The mission of the Somme Center is to promote optimal aging and to improve the quality of life for all older adults and their caregivers. Featured on our podcast, you will hear the voices of our Somme Center Director, Dr. Harleah Buck, Samantha Witrock, our Somme Center Coordinator, our Administration and Communications Coordinator, Susan Trey, and from me, Jen Jones, Program Coordinator for our Optimal Aging Initiative. We hope you enjoy our conversations with Somme Center friends, partners, donors, and other members of the Somme Center as we are all embracing the journey of aging.
So hello, everybody. Welcome to the Embracing the Journey of Aging with the Somme Center. I am Susan Trey, and I am here with the rest of the Somme team, Dr. Harleah Buck, Sam Witrock, and Jen Jones, and we're going to be giving you guys our introductions. This episode is for the purpose of you guys to get to know us, the Somme Center, and also provide you with the opportunity to learn more about us. So with that, we can get into our introductions.
Thank you for that introduction, Susan. My name is, Susan said, is Dr. Harleah Buck, and I am a PhD prepared nurse scientist, but I spent 20 years as a nurse at the bedside or making home visits, visiting with older adults and really the issues that are important to them and their families, and that definitely informs what I do in the Somme Center. And so I was at Penn State for a number of years and then was at the University of South Florida. I'm a Florida girl. And when the University of Iowa came to me and asked if I would be interested in coming to Iowa to serve as the Sally Mathis Hartwick Professor of Gerontological Nursing and also to direct the Barbara and Richard Somme Center for Gerontological Excellence. And that's what I do. That's a mouthful, and that's what I do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sam Witrock. I am the center coordinator with the Somme Center. It's always interesting for me to try to figure out where in my trajectory I start talking about sort of what led me to where I'm at today. I grew up in a very small rural community in western Iowa called Arcadia. It was a population of about 400 people, and what I saw growing up was a lot of folks unfortunately dying prematurely due to chronic illness. And so how that connects to my career is I decided I wanted to go into a field that would allow me to prevent that from happening. And so I decided to pursue a career in public health. I ended up working for a local public health agency for a while, doing some community outreach and education. I worked with a resident-led community, working to improve health equity for everyone that lived there. And then in a couple of other roles that sort of really built and honed in my skill in project and operations management. And so kind of the through line in addition to the project management was really this element of helping folks live longer, healthier lives. And so when I saw this position open up as center coordinator with the Somme Center, I was excited because it really sits at the intersection of my passion and what I've built my skills in my career in. And so excited to be in this role now.
Well, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We're excited that you're going to learn more about the Somme Center. My name is Jen Jones, and I am the program coordinator for our Optimal Aging Initiative at the Somme Center for Gerontological Excellence. Yes, it's all a mouthful, isn't it? Much like Sam, I do have a rural background. I grew up in West Central Illinois. In fact, my town had 350 people in it. And the county in which I grew up actually had no stoplights until long after I left. So I think deep down, Sam and I both have a real appreciation and love for rural areas. I wound up in Missouri for college. I traveled back to West Central Illinois and also got my master's in public health like Sam did. But I did it at a little bit later age, so I like to think of that as my first journey in optimal aging. It was continuing my education and staying engaged. And that led me to a critical access hospital where I had a couple of really unique experiences. I served as a program coordinator for an area health education center. It was really about developing workforce and giving students opportunities, which is something that we'll talk a little bit more in our SOME podcast about how we're doing that here as well. And then I became director of the Critical Access Hospital Foundation. Both of those jobs, it was about building relationships. It's about connecting. It's figuring out how we can create and contribute. And those three C's, connect and create and contribute, are truly what we operate on a daily basis at the SOME Center. I met a nice Iowa guy during COVID, and that's how I wound up here. So that's a little bit about me. And I think with that, then, Susan, we're going to pass it over to you.
So a little introduction about me. I am actually originally from Arkansas, and I also grew up in somewhat of a small town. It was considered, I had a professor call it like a bedroom community where you sleep there, but then you work in a larger city, which I thought was interesting because I'd never heard that before. But it was a small town, not quite 300 people. It was a bit more like 5,000, which in Arkansas was considered somewhat small. And I got my undergrad degree in creative writing, so I have more of a creative background. And then I went and got my master's after spending some time working at the Clinton Foundation as a communications intern and getting my master's in mass communication. And I had a focus in multi-platform journalism, so that led me to a career in TV news journalism, which is actually what brought me to Iowa. And then I ended up also meeting my husband here in Iowa, which he's not actually from here, but he was in pharmacy school here, and so that's what's helped us remain here. He has family, and what brought me to the SOME Center was I was looking for something that provided a creative outlet, but also had some administrative parts, and I guess that's where I forgot to mention my title was I'm administrative and communications coordinator for the SOME Center. And the things that I liked about that job was just the importance of the role and the mission of the SOME Center about aging, because very similar, I had a grandmother who passed away from Alzheimer's, and I've just witnessed things happening to people who are on the older side of age, but probably could have lived longer, or if like they had the research that we had now, just things that could have been different. And so that's kind of one of the driving forces in my role. And then also just being able to have a creative outlet and this podcast, which you are now getting to watch and listen to. So that's just a little bit about me. And we will be heading into the rest of our episode.
Well, I think what I've been asked to talk about is what is the SOME Center in terms of our mission and really who we are and how we live that mission. So first and foremost, the mission of the Barbara and Richard SOME Center for Gerontological Excellence is to advance innovations in research, education, and practice to promote optimal aging and quality of life in all older adults and their family caregivers. And we truly live the mission every day as we come in, and the choices that we make, the directions that we take, the programs we engage with always have that in their background. So when I talk about research, what do I really mean? You know, research is just one of our three-part mission of education and practice as well, though through the SOME Community of Scholars program for students and early career research faculty, we provide a supportive community and ongoing access to research and cutting-edge science. Through our aging hub, we connect with mid-career and senior researchers across the University of Iowa. We connect them first with each other and then with community partners that we have to advance the science. You know, a little bit about our background and what makes us different than many centers on aging is just our 30-plus year history of gerontological excellence at the University of Iowa. You know, from the development of the PhD, the first gerontology PhD program in the 1980s, to funding from both the National Institutes of Health and the John A. Hartford Foundation for two earlier iterations of the centers, to the generous current endowment by Barbara and Richard SOME, longtime Iowans, we have remained focused on the care of older adults. A little bit just a background of our connection to the National Hartford Center is because of our past funding from the John A. Hartford Foundation, we maintain relationships with their legacy programs like the National Hartford Center for Gerontological Nursing, the Hartford Institute of Gerontological Nursing at NYU, and other former Hartford-funded centers. So it really is wonderful that we have both this legacy in our background, but a future that's bright because of the endowment by Barbara and Richard Somme Center. So once again, you know, our focus is on innovation in research, education, and practice for optimal aging and quality of life. And really, this mission was chosen because we want to assure that every older adult receives the care that they want when they want it.
Okay. That history with the College of Nursing, Leah, to play into that, we require our nursing students to really practice as their students. You might want to talk a little bit about that.
Well, what's really interesting about that, Jen, is that we're one of the few colleges of nursing in the country that requires our undergrad nursing students to take a gerontology course. Other colleges, you know, deliver the material, but it's integrated in the middle of their medical surgical course. But we have a specific standalone course, which really helps our nursing students understand the unique features of older adults and families and how to care for them.
Yeah. I think that's a really great point of kind of what makes us special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Sam, anything you want to add on that or that we want to touch on as we move forward?
I think the other piece that's really exciting to me as far as how we work as the Somme Center is we are an interdisciplinary center, and so we work with folks from across campus, across the community, who represent all different fields and experiences. Mm-hmm. And so I think we'll mention this probably a couple times in this podcast, but we often talk about how we're better together as a center. And I think we truly live that in that we're inviting folks not only from the College of Nursing, but also from College of Public Health, Tippie College of Business, the College of Law, liberal arts and sciences, dentistry. Am I missing any of our representatives?
You know, I was going to ask
College of Medicine.
Going to ask Leah to expand on that because I think that's something you and I really, you know, being public health people, we're like, oh, we all need to be involved. But that was really your baby, Leah. When you talk about when you came here, that you created is just really launching our mission so far into kind of this future of where the Somme Center sits.
Absolutely. You know, as a longtime both clinician taking care of older adults and also as a researcher, I realized that the issues that most older adults are dealing with on a daily basis occur in the community and they're multifactorial. It's not just one thing. It's not just your health. It is your health, and maybe you have some transportation issues. It is your health, and maybe there are family dynamics. It is your health, and maybe you have some cost or economic issues. And so we really needed a team that brought expertise in all of these different areas. Elder law is just really a growing area. And so just in terms of financial exploitation, with scams, for example, many older adults are dealing with that in real time. And so we needed representation from experts from the University of Iowa College of Law. And so that's just one example of why we are better together.
And then I think about that, too, that connection with researchers across the university. That this gives us that avenue into these other people.
Absolutely. And what it does is kind of bidirectional in that we know the evidence that is available for, you know, why you would do something, why you would choose to do something differently. We can turn back to the studies that have been done and really show, does this change things? Or is this just some random thing on the internet? Right. You know, it really is a strong foundation. But equally important is we are also out in the community hearing about emerging real-time issues and can turn back to the researchers in the university and say, you know, this is what we're seeing. Is anybody looking at this? And really start to engage from both directions.
Right. Yeah, that's fantastic. And then do we touch on the Aging Hub later in the podcast? Because I think that plays right into the Aging Hub that you've also created as with us as a team. But another one of those things that was in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. One of the things I learned from public health is that idea that approaching any kind of issue from multiple system levels is what's needed to deal with these complex issues. And so when I first arrived at the University of Iowa, I realized that many people, researchers, were working across the university on aging issues, but there was no common home for them to come together mm-hmm. and talk about their work and how to apply it, how to develop new partnerships. And so one of the first things I started working on was creating this aging hub. And in partnership with the University of Iowa Research Development Office, we have pulled together both researchers, as I said, from across the university, but now we're getting ready to expand because the University of Iowa is only one of three Regents universities that we have gerontology programs, but not centers at both the University of Northern Iowa and Iowa State University. And so reaching out to those programs, we're now working to figure out, can we expand and pull in the researchers at those two other Regents universities? Once again, we're better together.
Okay. Well, thank you for expanding on that. And I was trying to pull that out of you because that leads into what I'm going to talk about. So I wanted everybody to hear that thought process of why these things were started. And then, you know, so I'm not an academic by trade, but I am a people person. And that's kind of where this Optimal Aging Initiative has really landed for us in the SOME Center. So I'm going to talk kind of do a broad overview of that. But please jump in if there's something that catches. Yeah, we'll have this conversation about what the Optimal Aging Initiative at the SOME Center is about and how we're utilizing that to connect our researchers to our communities, because ultimately that's really what we have found to be the strength of this. So the Optimal Aging Initiative, actually, you know, we had lovely donors from Northwest Iowa who had come to the University of Iowa looking for a way to really support their vision of how do we help Iowans age optimally by supporting them in access to resources, and how do we support that caregiver? Caregiving is something we talk about a lot. I'll circle back around to that, but statistics, even in the state of Iowa, are just astonishing when we start talking about that. So that was really important to these donors, and we're so grateful for them for meeting with Dr. Buck and realizing you guys had that connection, that this was a really great place for them to support programming. And now we're taking it and really pushing it out across the state. We have had some funding opportunities with the Optimal Aging Initiative. And just kind of in general views, a review of what they're about, we're really excited. We have a nurse researcher right now who's working in Johnson County. And they're talking about ways to improve Johnson County's livability. If you're an older adult, what does that mean? It's access to transportation, which you touched upon earlier. It's access to housing, which is a huge conversation people are having right now. He's working with a group, and I get really touched by this because we know a lot of the people who are in this committee who have been looking at this, and one of them came to us, and he said, you know, with the help of this researcher, this nurse researcher, for the first time in a really long time, we really feel that this is moving forward. And that just kind of reinforced our commitment to, okay, this is a good thing. This is a great partnership and collaboration. And now they're moving that forward. And that's something we would love to see taken across the state of Iowa. We have another nurse researcher who is doing, you know, if we're going to optimally age, maybe we should talk about what's optimal. Were you going to circle back around to optimal aging? What does that mean? To me, optimal aging is, are you doing the very best you can at this moment in time, in spite of or despite whatever health issues you may or may not, you may have? Because, Leah, you had such a profound comment to me early on in this job that healthy aging is not without disease. I think that's what you said. And I was just floored by that comment, right? And it's so true. Maybe we have a chronic disease. Maybe we have diabetes. Are we managing it? And it's beyond, Sam, looking at you about social determinants of health that we talk about in public health, right? It's beyond just physical activity. It's beyond, it's everything. Yeah.
It's really living its best life in the situation, circumstances that you find yourself.
Yeah. I think Leah often reminds us that older adults are the lucky ones. They're the folks mm-hmm. that have gotten to get to that stage of life. And I think often aging can be portrayed in a negative or in mm-hmm. a less than positive light. And so I think just really that concept that, like, if you've gotten to experience the journey, mm-hmm. journey of aging, then you're one of the lucky ones in society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leah, you used the word deficit with me one time, mm-hmm. that we've spent so much time in society looking at aging as a deficit. And we really need to change that perspective. And I feel like that's something we're able to do with the Optimal Aging Initiative with the SOMAE Center. We can give people, I hope about aging. There's a great quote I heard on an AARP video one time. And it was an older gentleman who said, the moment you start stopping, that's when you start aging. And I just loved that quote. The moment you start stopping. So don't stop. You can do it. So bringing that concept of optimal age. So we've had that conversation now. Coming back to some of these projects we've been able to fund, I think one of the neatest things we have right now is one of our nurse researchers looking at early detection. Okay, let's not wait till we're 70 to address our cardiovascular disease or dementia risk or whatever it might be. So she's looking at middle-aged and then into older adults, obviously, but catching those middle-aged people, really providing the right education they need, the messaging that they need to hear, so we, if they are at risk, giving them that education and that knowledge to reduce those risk factors. Don't we all wish we had that? I guess this is my plug for preventative healthcare, right? But that it. To me, optimal aging is also about planning and preparation and prevention, right? All of those things that roll into that. So we are very excited about this project because, again, this is something that's being created that can be taken across the state. We're looking at usability of Fitbits to motivate you. Oh, my gosh. We all know we can do it, but we all need that thing to motivate us. And can it be a Fitbit in a rural area? Or maybe we don't have that infrastructure. We don't have lighting. We don't have the sidewalks. So what can we do to help somebody get their steps in and lower their risk of diabetes?
Yeah. I was just going to add a personal example. So my dad and I are actually currently in the middle of a 10K a day, 10,000 steps a day challenge. And so that's one way that he and I are staying connected. And also then it's encouraging him to utilize his Fitbit to get out and get his steps in. So really, just seeing how we're able to not only use that for physical health, but also we're connecting and building our relationship with that too.
I love that. And yeah, and staying engaged and learning something new, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it fun when you get to teach your parents something new? we had a fabulous DNP, a doctor of nurse practitioner, work on a program that really could be implemented through the public health system of Iowa. And that is about what matters to you. And I think Leah talked about that, touched on that when it was about our mission and our vision, that you are receiving the care you want when you want. And this project was about the four M's. And do you want to say something about this? Because I think that's really important.
Yeah, there's a national program now that has been funded by the John A. Harford Foundation. And it's related to age-friendly communities, age-friendly healthcare, age-friendly public health. And basically, to be designated age-friendly, it starts with any kind of conversation with an older adult, whether you're a clinician, whether you're a planner, to say, what matters to you? Yeah. Instead of saying, what's the matter with you? They start by asking, what matters to you? And any plan that's made after that really is driven by what matters to the individual. And for older adults, in terms of healthcare, they've really identified four M's as areas where older adults should be thinking about, but also anybody interacting them. And the first one is mentation. It's that idea of cognition, that cognitive health is health and physical health, and that we really focus on mentation with older adults. That we talk about the medications. That's the second one. That idea that is, are we taking medications that maybe are affecting our cognitive status? Are we taking medications that maybe would affect our mobility, which is the next M, because mobility is really important for older adults, you know, to be able to safely move from one place to the other. Yeah. And the fourth M, I always stop and go, okay, I've got medications, I've got mobility, I've got mentation.
And what matters.
And what matters.
So, yeah. So we started with that. Yeah. Thank you for that explanation. I do hope that's something that we in the general public really start to hear more about, because how critical is that to ask me? I mean, I think about that all the time. I want you to ask me what matters, and then let's develop that plan. Because ultimately, I feel like Jen, the individual, should be setting my healthcare course, you know?
You know, and part of our empowerment of people in the community is to realize when you go in to meet with an expert of any kind, that you really should reset the conversation. If whoever it is just jumps into whatever they think they're, you know, even if you're at the bank and a officer there just kind of jumps into your plan or whatever to say, wait a minute, I'd really like to start by talking about what really matters to me. You will find most people prompted like that will stop with you and say, you're absolutely right. But sometimes you just have to gently remind them that everything that happens after this in this conversation is going to be grounded in what matters to me.
That's
an age-friendly system.
Wow. That's really powerful. It is empowering to the individual who is the one seeking that care, financial care, health care, whatever it might be. So take that with you. other things that we've done, we were able to help start an online Gero nurse class, which is important. I don't always get to see our nursing students, but when I do, sometimes I just interrupt them and say, hey, I'm the face. I'm going to be your patient in 10 years. I want you to do a good job. And I am so grateful to the University of Iowa's College of Nursing for requiring these students to take a class and to have this clinical, because, you know, I'm not feeling the same way I did at 23 at my age now. And we hear things differently and we do move differently and we need to receive care differently. And I'm so proud that we get to relay this message to everybody that's listening, that this is what's going on at the College of Nursing. Yeah.
And I'm really grateful to, you know, the support of our donors when I realize that our students who are in the RN to BS program, which is a fully online program, because it's mainly practicing nurses who have their associate degree and live in rural areas. And they were the only one of our Bachelor of Science nursing students who didn't take a Gero course because we teach it live to our traditional students. And when I really started to advocate for adding it to the RN to BS curriculum, I realized that the only impediment really was to be able to hire a nursing faculty person to redesign the course. And because of the Optimal Aging Initiative, we had the funds. And so we could make it happen. And that really is, we're deeply grateful to this initiative for this.
Yeah. Wow. And I just, hearing that, sometimes, you know, we live in the Somme Center, so we know that we're doing really cool things, but to hear you say that and to really absorb that information, okay, this is the power of the Somme Center, right? This is what we really truly hope to do. We talked about connect and create and contribute. What's missing? And think about who, you know, the population of our rural areas in Iowa. We only have 3 million residents. And how many of them live in rural areas are older adults, right? I mean, we're fourth in the nation with residents over the age of 75. So roll that one around in your head. That is astonishing, and predominantly living in rural areas. So we can create that opportunity to take really great health care to those areas, which is really important. And one of the other things that we funded, this one just, you know, I'm always like, our researchers are so bright, right? They're just such creative and intelligent people. But he's utilizing your electronic health record and the things that you've said and that have been documented to take a good look at that to help best discern what that next level of care needs to be for you. So to me, that comes back in a way listening to what I'm saying, and instead of making an assumption about what my next level of care needs to be, really taking a look at that and deciphering, okay, this is what is going to work best for Jen, because we know transition of care. I mean, Leah, you've had that real experience being a nurse. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, that's the most difficult time in a person's life. So really thankful that we get to do that. And then we get to transition. So, yeah, we have this academic focus of research, education, and practice. So what does that mean to you if you're outside of the academic world, right? Well, it's about this community engagement part that it has allowed us to branch out, develop partnerships and collaborations. And this is where when Sam and I started about a year and a half ago, I mean, we're a really new team. We haven't talked about that, but we are a really new team of people. You and I, in trying to figure out and best decide, you know, what's our message? What is it we say to someone? And I think you came up with this concept that we are a research hub, right? And it's about going out and finding out, okay, what does Leah do? What does Sam do? Oh my gosh, we have individuals who are reaching out to us who need their resources, right? What they can provide. It is oftentimes finding out, okay, Leah has this business and Sam has this business. Oh my gosh, they need to meet one another to elevate their platform, because their resources together could benefit in a bigger way, or they can support one another. I've shared with the team many, many times, being able to go out into the community, it's to health fairs or caregiver wellness fairs. What I find is that there are really amazing people doing great work in the state of Iowa. They really are. But they don't have the bandwidth or the funding or the position, and I'm so grateful because I do love people and I love to hear their stories and figure out. It's like a puzzle to me, like, okay, how can I piece you together? This is what we're going to do with the SOME Center's power, right? Meeting them and helping to connect them. And I've been told so many times, this is what's missing. In the world of aging, this is what's missing. We have created some phenomenal friendships, partnerships, collaborations. I think something I wanted to share is that most recently we had a community member come to us. I had met her a while ago and we'd kind of bounced a friendship back and forth, and she reached out and she said, Jen, I need a caregiver support group. I'm an adult child and I need this. I don't have anybody else like me right now where I can turn to for that caregiver support. And remember, we're talking about what our donors wanted us to go find. So we invented it. We've created this resource and this caregiver support group. And now we've partnered her recently with AARP Iowa. And that's going to be something else we can share down the road. The Iowa City Senior Center, bringing our researchers, because I think sometimes this is a difficult piece. And I've had to learn this, too, not coming from an academic background. Bringing our researchers, who, as Leah pointed out to me, these are experts in their fields, right? This has been their life's work. This is what they're doing. Having them come into, is it a senior living organization or is it a community group or an elder consortium meeting or just an interested group of individuals to say, let's do an education. Let's bring this to you so you understand what's coming down the pike, what the future looks like. And I will say this about research. These are the people who are going to impact the way we age. I mean, this research in 10 years or 20 years, and I'm looking around the room at my teammates here, this is going to impact the way I age, you age, all of us age. And so we want to raise that up. But taking kind of that academic edge off of it and bringing it to that community concept. So we're really excited to be building partnerships like that and looking at how we can just reach out across the state of Iowa for other things. So are there other partnerships or things that are coming to your mind as we're talking about this that you'd like to share, Sam and Leah?
You know, one that comes to mind, Jen, and you know because you've been working with me on this, is just that partnership with the state with the Division on Aging and Disability Services, that we would be viewed as a valuable partner because of the expertise we can tap into and the resources that we're willing to share. And so that's an area where I really see opportunity for growth. Because when you work with the state government, it really allows you literally to touch everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. So anything else? So. Okay. Well, I think that kind of segues into, we've talked about, you know, we create and connect, right? This is what we want to do and then contribute. But how do we offer this to more people, all those community people we've been able to meet? And so Sam's going to talk to you a little bit more about membership.
Okay. So, yeah, I think a common thread that we've continued to talk about throughout this conversation today, and that is multiple times a day within the SOME Center team, is just talking about this element of community and how important it is. And so since the SOME Center was started in 2017, we've had a number of fabulous scholars, stakeholders, community partners, individuals, donors who have been engaged with us in some way, shape, or form. But prior to this year, we didn't have a way for them to be officially affiliated with the SOME Center. And so we wanted to change that in order for us to really be able to learn more about their needs, to be able to deepen our relationships. And so we launched a membership opportunity in January of 2024. And so that's been a lot of fun. It's been really interesting to see who our mission resonates with. You know, some folks, we recognize their names, right? And we're glad that they're there. And we have other folks that we have never heard of before. And so, you know, for Jen, that's incredibly exciting because that's a relationship waiting to be built, right? And so I think that's one element of that. We've also talked a lot about this concept of us being better together. And I think both as a center and as a team, you heard that we all kind of come from different perspectives within the SOME Center. We're uniquely positioned to bring people together in order to meet the needs of older adults that are going to be changing with the demographic shift that's happening in the United States. Right. And so I think beyond just an opportunity to be affiliated with the SOME Center, I mean, that means something for folks that are in faculty positions and students. And, you know, I think beyond that affiliation, it's really an opportunity for that meaningful and mutually beneficial engagement with between all of us. So membership at the SOME Center means opportunities to connect with like-minded people. Like we talked about, that community is really central to what we're doing. Opportunities to find collaborators, gain valuable experiences. We've had a lot of wonderful students who have been engaged with the SOME Center in the last year and a half and beyond, but that I know of in the last year and a half. The ability to access center resources, such as pilot funding and or identifying other partnerships through kind of our relationships within the community, opportunities to showcase your work. As Jen was sharing, we really want to look at what are those opportunities to bring experts and into some of these senior living communities and get that information more broadly disseminated. And then get involved with our program. So really an exciting opportunity, I think, with membership. Anything else you want to add as far as like what that means or why that's...
I think that, you know, we all commit on a different level when we actually officially join a group.
Thank you.
It's so true.
Yes, it is, you know, and so in becoming a member, you know, you really are saying this is important to me, but it's equally about saying, and I'm important to you.
Yes.
And so, and really our, particularly our community members are so incredibly important to us. And so the opportunity to be a member is really about relationships.
And I think Jen often talks about all these friends she hasn't met yet. So we're bringing more friends into the fold. So thank you for adding that, Leah. And as I mentioned, we have membership options for faculty and students. We also have community affiliate options. So if you're an individual who's interested in getting involved with our work or want to promote optimal aging, then there's an option there. And then we also have an option for community organizations. And we have more details about sort of the specific benefits. I'm not going to sit and like read through exactly what those benefits are on our, they're built out on our website. But yeah, just wanting to give a sense of we truly value and see how we can mm-hmm. create this future where we can all age optimally if we're all in this together. And so, yeah, I think those were kind of my main points, other than the plug to, like, please join us as a member. It is free. And we'll provide a link to that sort of in our show notes. But wanted to see what else you want to add, Jen.
Yeah, I want to touch on that student, that student opportunity. Okay, so let's talk about some statistics. And I think this comes back to what Leah was talking about at the top of this podcast. Okay, in Iowa alone, let's talk about caregivers. We have 330,000 unpaid caregivers, so we know that that's an issue, right? We have to talk about that and recognize that. 330,000 out of only 3 million people. So, you know, you can do the math at home, but that's staggering to me, right? Mm-hmm. We have an interdisciplinary leadership team. We talked about, because aging doesn't care what you do. Mm-hmm. Aging to me, I said this to someone the other day and she said, wow, it's the common denominator of all people. Mm-hmm. Pointed that out, Sam, earlier. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we all get to age, right? So students, if you're listening to this, if you're a music major, there's music therapy. If you're an architect, are you contemplating or talking about in any of your classes, living in place, aging in place is a huge concept that's out there. Are you developing homes where people truly can live out their golden years? Because that is what people want to do, and that's where we're running into some issues. We have older adult friends, and I think about my own dad in this case, who's living in not the best aging in place house. And it's just things we have to talk about. But any career you go into is going to be impacted by this demographic. We know that in the next 5 to 10 years, we will have more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 18 for the first time in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. That's staggering mm-hmm. because all of you who will be under 18 will also be caregiving along with everyone else in that mix. So if you're a student and you think aging isn't going to impact you, think again, because it really can. So we really encourage you across disciplines to join us. And it looks good on your resume.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Anything else on membership? Anything else you feel?
Join today.
That was great. And we have to say, like, can we give a shout out to Susan, who's yes. over here, like, with the earphones in, and she's moving the camera, and she's, like, our tech guru. So, yeah.
Leading us through this.
We really appreciate Susan taking us through this journey. Yeah.
Before we close, so I think some of my favorite podcasts often end with the same question at the end of the podcast, right?
Are you going to quiz
and
us?
So, Jen, you use this question all the time. So I think something that we often talk about when we're out in community mm-hmm. or meeting with some of our favorite people, we ask the question, how are you aging optimally?
Yes.
And so I think it would be wonderful for our first episode for mm-hmm. us to talk about that. You know, pick what's your favorite flavor for the week as far as the things you're doing. But I think might be helpful and kind of fun just to talk about what are your optimal aging strategies.
I love that. Do you want to go first? No.
Sure. Yeah. I will. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. So one of the things that I am focused on this week, which is one that sometimes when I say it out loud feels silly, is just this concept of sleep hygiene. I think mm-hmm. it's really, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. really easy for me to get in bed and still continue to scroll mm-hmm. on my phone or, you know, check emails or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. And so really trying to be intentional about, like, what is that nighttime routine mm-hmm. that helps my body mm-hmm. and mind slow down, move into that sort of actual state of sleep in a more, like, mm-hmm. habitual way. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of mine. You know, I have 2 cats and a dog at home, so whether or not that works out for me is TBD some days, but that's one of mine.
Yeah. What are you doing, Leah?
You know, I really, part of it is kind of refusing to rest on your laurels. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is, you know, I'm at a point in my career where it would be really easy to kind of phone it in. You know, I've climbed the mountains I set for myself. but refusing to do that and to look every day for that new challenge, that new opportunity. And to be frank, the Somme Center is literally my optimal aging strategy because I come in every day and there's something new. There's a new opportunity, a new piece of information. Mm-hmm. You know, a study comes out and somebody brings it to me. Mm-hmm. And just new information, and it's that idea of just engage, engage, engage mm-hmm. that's so important for optimal aging.
Yeah. I love that. And I think Susan, Sam, and I would say you do not sit on your laurels. She keeps us on our toes.
Yes.
I think kind of in a similar vein, it's truly, and you know, I'll say too, I'm fairly new to Iowa City. I've only been here for 2 years. So I'm still looking for friends, right? And it's been really fun to go out and have the opportunity to meet people on behalf of the Somme Center who then also become just really cool individuals that I get to hang out with or get coffee with. And, you know, engagement, social isolation, we don't need to be isolated. So I'm so grateful that, again, through the Somme Center, I'm expanding a group of really interesting, motivated people who also believe in this concept of optimal aging. So really grateful that the two, that my work and my life are fairly balanced. And I know a lot of people don't get to say that, but that to me is also a shout out to this team. Thank you, because we do that together. Without all four of us being on that same page, we're really lucky to say we've got that kind of work-life balance, which is terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd like to hear from Susan.
Bloopers.
Yeah, right?
Outtakes. So I guess the way that I optimally age has always been, I guess the thought that I've always had is physical. Mm-hmm. So as far as like exercise go, I have parents that are in their mid to late 60s. And so that is something that I take into account as far as taking care of myself, because when I get older, I look at it as, like, I want to be able to keep up with my kids. If they're running around, I have to be able to catch them. And then the other part is I recently found out that I was fructose intolerant, and so it's looking at my diet a little bit differently, because gone are the days for me where I could eat whatever I wanted and not face the consequences. But now I have to face those consequences. So it's basically just not necessarily dieting, because that's not the goal for it, but it's just helping me feel better with what I feel my body with. And so that's kind of how I've been looking at optimal aging lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think based on what we've all just shared, something that I want to kind of continue to point to is optimal aging doesn't look one way, right? I think we've asked folks the question of how are you optimally aging, and they kind of give us this deer in the headlights look of like, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
What am I supposed to say?
Yeah, what am I supposed to say? Exactly. Yeah. But I think for us, it is so broad. It can be career related. It can be social related. Mm-hmm. It can be mental or physical related. Or, I think it's so broadly defined. And so I just think I love that our personal examples kind of fed into that as well.
Yeah. And I think, again, coming back to, we use that phrase optimal aging an awful lot, but embracing that journey. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love that's what we're calling this podcast. That's what really what we're looking at. And we hope that we inspire you. Take a good look at what you're doing positively, because sometimes it's so easy to say, oh, I don't do this. What are you doing that's really good for you and helping you on this journey? So embrace those things. Mm-hmm. And with that, Susan, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Okay. So I guess this is kind of our wrap up. Thank you so much for listening to our very first Embracing Our Journey of Aging with the Somme Center podcast. Just to kind of summarize, you know, we talked about the Somme Center, what we're all about, optimal aging, and how that has ended up connecting a lot of people, and then also the importance of our membership to continue that connection. And we're really excited. We have a lot of great future podcast episodes prepared for you guys that we'll be recording soon, some with community members, some with faculty in the College of Nursing here at the University of Iowa. And then I think there was also someone new that you brought in, Jen, and someone that really does help with that living in place, mm-hmm. I think, too. So that'll be a really great episode for you guys to tune into. And is there anything else that we want to add? No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And with that, thank you so much for embracing the journey of aging with us.
Thank you so much for listening to Embracing the Journey of Aging. If you liked what you heard, please follow us on our social media pages. You can also find more information on our website. If there is a specific topic you would like us to talk about, or if you have any comments, feel free to email us at some-center@uiowa.edu. Remember, SOMAY is spelled C-S-O-M-A-Y. All other information will be in our show notes. Until next time, we hope you are embracing the journey of aging.